Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, yes, it is. Another Manic Monday. I'm Scoot in the afternoon. So glad you are with us, and I am so glad to be with you once again, coming to you live from my apartment living room in downtown New Orleans, overlooking a part of the French Quarter of New Orleans. I'm in the CBD and waiting on some paperwork so I would be allowed to get back to the studio. And I'm sure those of you who run big corporations, and if you're in HR, you know exactly what that is all about. Oh, my God, so much to talk about. But I've got to tell you, I am lamenting over the fact that I did not make it to the Pink concert last night at the Smoothie King Center. So I want somebody to send me a text to 870-870 of a couple of the songs that Pink played last night, and we'll play them as bumper music on the show today. Oh my God, there really is so much to talk about. And I want to start out by saying this show is hosted by a very patriotic American. A guy who pays his taxes, a guy who votes in every election, a guy who obeys the laws. Those things make me an American patriot, and that's what I am. And I think that more of us in the middle and more Americans need to start owning that and not allow just a fraction of the right to act like they own the term patriotic American, because I am a patriotic American. And you don't have to be Republican or conservative to be a patriotic American. So I want to set the record straight on that. So everything that I talk about today is based on my desire as a patriotic American to set the record straight on a few things and to discuss a few things. You and I may disagree. But what I love about this show is we can disagree. You can call the show. You've got your opinion. I've got my opinion. And unlike many shows across this country, this is a show where you can never predict what the opinion is going to be. I'm a registered independent and damn proud of it. There are times I side with the right. There are times I side with the left. And that, by the way, is the way most Americans view social and political issues. It really depends on the issues. I know so many conservative Republicans who are socially liberal. And that's okay. So let's just not be so quick to be judgmental. And I got into a conversation over the weekend with somebody about the unfortunate desire for people to fall into certain groups. Oh, I know, I had dinner with Amanda Shaw Saturday night. And Amanda, it really is, she's much more than just her music. She's a very, very bright young woman. And we were talking at dinner about the idea that people feel the need to belong to certain groups, even if they don't totally agree with the group. They want to belong to their group, and it's almost a sense of security. It's almost as if they belong to the group or the political tribe or the political party or the ideology, because it helps them define themselves. It helps them find meaning in who they are. And a lot of people are just confident and independent enough and independent thinkers enough to the point where I don't need a party to guide me. I don't need certain people with the same point of view to guide me. So this show is, as far as I'm concerned, it's wide open. You gotta love it. Wouldn't you love to be at the dinner table with Kellyanne Conway and her husband, George? I mean, seriously. Over the weekend, George tweeted out that President Trump is mentally ill. And he went in and looked up some scientific evidence, scientific definitions of people who are mentally ill, or what defines mental illness, and he related it to President Trump. So, I mean, my God, you'd be interested to be at, it would be very interesting to be at that particular table. You've heard in our news, and this was breaking news just a little while ago, the death penalty will be the ultimate sentence for Dakota Terrio if he is convicted and found guilty. He killed five people in Louisiana very recently. I saw the play, the Tony Award-winning and controversial play, Hamilton, at the Sanger last week. I loved it. I thought it was profound. It's the story of one of our more obscure founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton, who played a very integral role in the forming of America. But he wasn't as well known as George Washington or George Adams, Thomas Jefferson, some of the others, but Alexander Hamilton was a key figure in the formation of this country. The play is controversial because rap music is used to tell the story of the beginning of America, our founding fathers. And the music, much of the music, was rap music. Also controversial was the idea that black actors play white characters in this historically themed play. Is it wrong to use black actors to play white characters to tell a historic story when the characters in real life were white? Or is the use of black actors in this case a statement that race should not matter? We'll talk about that in the 3 o'clock hour this afternoon. Also, we'll be talking about the horrific terrorist attack in New Zealand. It was apparently motivated by white nationalist hate toward Muslims. And we know that the white nationalist hate directs their hate toward more than just Muslims, but in this case, it was Muslims. When asked, President Trump said that white nationalism is a small group with a problem, but did not seem to agree that white nationalism is on the rise around the country and globally. I think President Trump is right when he says white nationalism is a small group with a problem, but I don't agree that it's not rearing its ugly head all across the country and really around the world. So we'll get into that. But first up on the show this afternoon, over the weekend, President Trump went on what could best be described as a tweet tantrum, condemning Saturday Night Live as a show that is not funny. He even brought up the idea that the Federal Election Commission and or the FCC should look into an unbalance of humor directed at him. He's upset because Saturday Night Live directs most of its humor toward him and not the Democrats. Should the FCC require equal balance when it comes to shows like Saturday Night Live and maybe even the late night talk shows? I mean, I think it is insane that we even ask this question, but it needs to be asked. Is it fair that comedy targeting President Trump is unbalanced? And it clearly is. There's no question about that. But so what? It's just comedy. Every president has been made fun of. Every president has been ridiculed. Every president has been mocked. Maybe there's more for President Trump only because of the personality that he is. He invites it. He gives comedians, comic writers, he gives them more material every day than any other president has in the history of this country. And so that's why this is happening. I guess in some ways you could argue that President Trump is not a boring president. He's anything but boring. So he gives the comedians a lot to work with. And also there's this idea that Saturday Night Live is not funny anymore. Well, it depends on who you are. As we all know, the judgment of art, the judgment of entertainment, is subjective. It's not objective. And what you think is not funny, somebody might think is funny, and vice versa. So this idea, and I put this on my Facebook page, Scoot on the Air, and it led to a great, passionate discussion over the weekend with people posting and then people commenting on the post and then commenting on the post and then commenting on those comments. I mean, it went on. It's still posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, so you can still get involved in that that conversation. And maybe I'll read some of the comments later in the show. But there were people who say, well, Saturday Night Live isn't even funny anymore. Well, some people think it's very funny. There are people who think that Stephen Colbert and Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel, that they're not funny and they shouldn't even be on the air. But the last I checked, their ratings were all up. So somebody thinks they're funny. And it's really not for each one of us to decide what's funny or what's entertaining. That's up to the audience. And the audience is deciding. And Saturday Night Live is doing this because it's working. And Stephen Colbert is doing this because it's working. If you would like to join us with your comment this afternoon, here's our number, 260 1-877-260-1870. Area code 504-260-1870. And our text is 870-870. A lot to talk about. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. LSU seeded 3 in the NCAA tournament. They play their first game at 11:40 this coming Thursday morning, and you'll hear all of the game and all the coverage right here on WWL. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back. Yeah, it's amazing how many people consider themselves really true patriotic Americans, and they have lost sight of what it means when we say freedom of speech in this country. Do you think the FCC, which is a government agency, should consider regulating the comedy that overwhelmingly targets President Trump on shows like Saturday Night Live and with the late night talk show hosts? Should the FCC get involved in regulating this to make it more balanced, more fair? That's our WWL Blue Runner Gumbo Poll. Give us your opinion by going to our website, WWL.com. And if you want to join us with your comment this morning, this afternoon, our number is 260-1870 and our text is 870-870. Right now, Carlos, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Carlos.
Hey, Scoot.
Hey.
Hey, Scoot, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Scoot, good afternoon.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Carlos.
Oh, okay. Scoot, I just wanted to make a comment on Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, we had planned to talk about that later, but go ahead and make your comment.
You know that I'm a citizenship professor, okay?
Uh-huh.
And true that what you say, that Alexander Hamilton doesn't get very much recognition as opposed to T.J. and George and G.W. and John Adams, Samuel Adams, and all those other guys. But he was very instrumental in the fact that he, along with John Jay and James Madison, wrote the Publius Papers, okay, which were documentaries, underground papers, so to speak, in today's terms, because they didn't want the British to know who was writing those documents so they could pass them on to the general public in the passage of the Constitution. And that's how the Constitution was very instrumental. Those three gentlemen were very instrumental in having the Constitution passed back in 1787.
One of the great things about the play Hamilton, which, again, we'll talk more about later. I'll give my review of the play, which I saw. It's running at the Sanger until the end of this month. They have Mondays off, but it runs every night through the rest of this month, is that it causes people to start to be cognizant of politics and our history and our founding fathers in the beginning of the country. And Alexander Hamilton's name, you know, the biggest thing that I remember from Alexander Hamilton from school was, okay, he was shot by Aaron Burr. And in the play, Aaron Burr is played by a black guy, but we all know that, you know, Aaron Burr was not a black guy. So I thought the play was very, very, very profound in what they did, the use of music, rap music, and the way they did things. And also pointing out that Alexander Hamilton was this guy kind of more behind the scenes than in the spotlight.
Yeah, exactly. But then all at the same time, none of those gentlemen were never wanted the spotlight. For example, George Washington became president simply because he was the leader of the colonial movement. Everybody thought that he was the right person to lead the First Continental Army. Remember the First Continental Army, which crossed the river, the frozen river, and then he was chosen to be the first president of this great country. Just thought I'd just throw my two cents in. For whatever it's worth, to the general public that don't know much about the U.S. history.
Well, you know, years ago it was 2 cents, but because of inflation, now it's $37.50 worth. So I appreciate the comment, Carlos. Thanks for listening.
Guys. See you.
All right, if you want to join us, our number is 260-1870. Text number is 870-870. Once again, I welcome those of you who are listening around the country or anywhere else in the world on your phones, your tablets, and your computers. Here's a text that says, I haven't watched Saturday Night Live since Aykroyd, Belushi, Chase Moores, etc. It was funny back then, not today. Well, I mean, I guess that depends. Even in those days, I thought there was some stupid stuff on Saturday Night Live. And I don't watch it every week, but I usually try to catch the beginning of it because, to me, that's the most exciting and relevant part of the show because it always deals with political and social issues and some of the top people making news. And one of them, of course, is President Trump. I think the stuff is funny. I think the stuff is funny. I think stuff is funny, even if it targets a candidate that I absolutely love and totally support. So let's just relax and realize that it's just comedy. But Saturday Night Live, yeah, sometimes today it sucks. But I think there's really some funny stuff. Here's a text that says, Scoot, maybe Trump should stop acting like a blank and maybe they'll stop making jokes about him. Well, you know, the more you give, the more you contribute to pop culture, the more you're going to be made fun of. The more you engage the media with things that are out of the ordinary. And President Trump has certainly done that. He has certainly brought things forward out of the ordinary for a president of the United States. For example, the tweet tantrum over this weekend. We're going to go through some of the things that the president tweeted about. And one of the big things was Saturday Night Live. And first of all, I don't know about you, and I just don't think this is an anti-Trump comment, but even if you're a Trump supporter, I mean, don't you have to kind of admit that the president of the United States being offended by comedians on a late night TV show, being offended by them, that's kind of unsettling. I mean, I'd like to think that the president of the United States is tough enough emotionally to just ignore it and to not even worry about it or to learn to maybe laugh at himself. And so the president's suggestion that Saturday Night Live is unfair to him, and the comedy is not balanced, but the very idea of bringing in the Federal Elections Commission and or the FCC to somehow look into the imbalance of humor directed at the president is a frightening thought. And if you think about it, for the many people on the right who say, if you vote for a Democrat, you're voting for our country becoming a socialist nation. Well, it's things like asking the FCC to check into the balance of comedy that could be argued that President Trump wants to lead us to a dictatorship. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, text 870-870. I'm Scoot. We will be back. One of the great things about living in America is we have freedom of speech, and we certainly have freedom of comedy, or we should. The fact that President Trump over the weekend was freaking out over Saturday Night Live, first of all, let's mention it was a rerun of Saturday Night Live. I mean, he wasn't even commenting on a current episode. It was a rerun from Christmas. And there was some really funny stuff and great parody stuff on there. But he's so obsessed with people making fun of him that don't you think that as President of the United States, he should just let that go? And the very suggestion that the FCC should require some kind of equal balance when it comes to comedy, like on Saturday Night Live or the late night talk show host, to me, is the stepping stone toward a dictatorship. And if it is fair for some to say, if you vote for Democrats, we're going to become a socialist nation, and I don't think we're going to become a socialist nation, then why not also argue that with some of the things that President Trump is suggesting, he's leaning toward us becoming a dictatorship? And by the way, I don't think we're going to become a dictatorship. If you would like to join us with your comment and feelings, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, love Trump as president, but he should just ignore SNL and have fun with it and maybe even be on the show. Yeah, I mean, even for those of you who are diehard Trump supporters, and I know many of you listen to this show, and I love the fact that we don't always agree, but you still find the show entertaining. This has got to be hard for you. And nobody can agree. I don't think anybody would suggest that the FCC should step in here and somehow make humor balanced. I mean, I guess this really shouldn't even be a discussion, but it has to be because it's so scary that a president would even suggest that. Here's a text that says, political or not, SNL is not funny. Drunk History, Broad City, etc. are funny shows. Well, those shows can be funny too, but there are funny aspects of Saturday Night Live. And again, if you don't think it's funny, that's okay. There are things that you think are really funny, and I might not think they're funny, or somebody else might not think they're funny. Should they not have been said or not exist because you don't think they're funny? Thinking that something's not funny, that's not the criteria by which we judge what's on television or what's in entertainment. That is judged by the audience size and audience support. And one text here says, Scoot, if Saturday Night Live wasn't funny, it wouldn't have been on television for over 50 years. They're doing something right, whether you think it's funny or not. And that really is the point. Our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. We're just getting started here. We've got a lot to talk about. Also, over the weekend, President Trump really got fired up because a couple of Fox News hosts have been, I guess, removed from the Fox News channel. I watch all the news channels, but I don't keep up with every show, especially on the weekends. And he's upset that that Jeanine Pirro has disappeared. And the president tweeted out, "Where Fox News weekend anchors are Thel Neville and Leland, is it Vittert? Were they trained by CNN prior to their ratings collapse? In any event, that's where they should be working, along with the lowest-rated anchor, Shepard Smith." And so I guess he's suggesting that Arthel Neville, who is from the Neville family here in New Orleans, and his other host, Leland Vittert, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, they should be fired because, along with Shepard Smith, because their ratings are low. Well, I don't know what the ratings are right now. I don't really have that in front of me, so I can't answer that question. But he was standing up for Judge Jeanine Pirro, a very, very outspoken Trump supporter, and he said that that her show should be back. She was recently, I guess, she wasn't on the air this past weekend because Fox ran a documentary instead. And this follows her remarks about suggesting that Representative Omar, who is a very new, young female representative on Capitol Hill, wearing a hijab, that she says anybody who does that subscribes to Sharia law, and so therefore this representative can't really be an American. That was her suggestion. And that, of course, is absurd, so Trump was upset about that. Fox News told The Hollywood Reporter that the network is not commenting on internal scheduling matters. Trump also tweeted out that the radical left Democrats are working closely with their beloved partner, the fake news media, to use everything they can use to try to silence the majority of our country. Well, the president's wrong about the majority of our country. And again, what the president calls fake news is often just news that he disagrees with, and it's not technically fitting into the definition of fake news. But, you know, again, I mean, should the president even be worried about these things? I mean, I'm glad he is because it's really fun stuff to talk about. And let's also add one more thing before I have to go to a break and I'll come right back with your calls. Let's add one more thing to this. President Trump also tweeted out a tweet bashing the late Senator John McCain for apparently sharing the infamous dossier with then FBI Director James Comey, and for John McCain voting against repealing Obamacare. John McCain, in my opinion, an American war hero, passed away, what, last August? And the president tweets bashing McCain. And McCain's daughter, Meghan McCain, came back with a really, really great answer. I'll have that for you coming up. But over the weekend, President Trump tweeted 30 original tweets and 20 retweets. So altogether, the president tweeted 50 times over the weekend and criticized the removal of a Fox News host that strongly supported him, criticized Saturday Night Live, suggested the FCC should maybe be involved in balancing out humor in our entertainment, and also bashed the late Senator John McCain. What explanation could there possibly be for Trump continuing to bash Senator John McCain? Our number is 260-1870. Text is 870-870. I'm Scoot, and we're coming right back on this Monday afternoon with your comments on WWL. And let's also comment that you can have a party start without somebody coming out. I want to be clear about that. Anyway, I'm sure Pink was phenomenal last night, but I didn't make it, so we'll feature a little Pink music on the show this afternoon. If it is fair, as many Republicans do, including President Trump, if it is fair to argue that voting for Democrats is voting for America becoming a socialist nation, if that's fair, then why is it not fair to say that President Trump suggests things that make it seem as if he wants to lead us toward being a dictatorship. Our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Here's a text that says, Trump is bashing McCain because he knows deep down inside he's not half the man McCain was. Trump faked his way out of going to Vietnam. McCain is a former POW and true American war hero. Is that right? Does President Trump bash John McCain because John McCain is a symbol for being an American hero? Because he did go to Vietnam? Because he was injured? Because he was a POW? Because he stayed longer than he had to stay because his fellow soldiers were not going to be released and he was? Is President Trump bashing McCain? Because this, look, a lot of people that bash other people, they're insecure themselves. And they build themselves up by bashing somebody else. So why, on the anniversary, I think it was the 46th anniversary, on the anniversary of John McCain being released as a Vietnam prisoner of war, on that weekend, why would President Trump bash John McCain when he really didn't have to? I mean, he went out of his way to bash McCain. Why does he do that? I mean, if you're a Trump supporter, I would love the explanation, because I don't get it. I don't understand. Does he do it because he's jealous? Because he wants to put down somebody that represents people that are heroes? Because he'll never be that kind of hero? You know, this is all confusing to me. I mean, it's not confusing because, you know, we know who President Trump is, and we knew that during the campaign. But, I mean, as a patriotic American, I have these questions about President Trump. Meghan McCain is a Republican. She has questions about President Trump. There are a lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives in this country who are brave enough to have questions about President Trump. There are many on Capitol Hill that are not brave enough to be honest about President Trump, and one of them is Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, because Lindsey Graham was good friends with John McCain, and Lindsey Graham said, John McCain is this, John McCain is that, John McCain is a war hero. But he did not criticize the president for bashing John McCain. So in that sense, Lindsey Graham was spineless. If you want to join us with your comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, area code 504, 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And if you're just tuning in, we're also talking about President Trump having a tweet tantrum over the weekend, condemning Saturday Night Live as a show that's not funny, and even brought up the idea of the Federal Election Commission and or the FCC looking into this matter to bring balance to humor, because it's unbalanced, the humor that is directed at him. So he's suggesting the FCC should be involved in making political jokes balanced? Even if you don't like the jokes, even if you think Stephen Colbert and Saturday Night Live and even if you think they're way off base making fun of the president to this degree, even if you think that's terrible, you've got to know how dangerous it is to even suggest that the FCC get involved in some kind of requirement that comedy is balanced. All right, you got a comment, 260-1870. Text is 870-870. I'm Scoot. It is a Monday afternoon. Yeah, we're just getting cranked. If you're on hold, stay with us. Your comment's next on WWL. Oh, no, it is so. It is very so, and it, not only is it so, but it's so sad, really. I mean, whoever the president is, man, he or one day she should not even worry about the comedy that is directed at them. And, you know, when comedy goes too far, there is a line that you draw, that you don't draw and I don't draw, but the line is there. And sometimes we don't know when the line is crossed until it's crossed. Kathy Lee Gifford. Not Kathy Lee Gifford. I'm drawing a blank on the comedian that I so dislike. Kathy Griffin. Her comedy about President Trump and the severed head, that was across the line, and she got busted for it. Same thing with Roseanne. I mean, you could only go so far. And sometimes you don't know where the line is until it's drawn, but then there are sacrificial lambs. I've got a text here that says, Scoot, here is when you sound like a Democrat. But I'm not. I'm a registered independent. I am a patriotic American, and I can't let some of this stuff go without talking about it, because it is important to who we are as a country. From Galliano, Robert, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm talking about, going to say something about Trump.
Okay.
Trump is our president, but he's doing the wrong thing, being disrespectful to our flag and the people who served and passed away. There has been some talk about taking the crosses down at the national cemeteries. I heard this on the news. I think that's all wrong. I don't know who's doing that talking, but that's wrong. Because
I'd have to look into that, Robert. I'm not familiar with that. But tell me how you think President Trump is showing disrespect for the flag.
Well, he's tweeting things that shouldn't have to be tweeted. I never saw a president do things like that. He's disrespecting the presidency by doing that.
Well, I think he lowers the dignity of the position of the presidency when he shows that he is bothered. It hurts his feelings when somebody on Saturday Night Live, or when Saturday Night Live is a show, targets him. I mean, you're president of the United States, for God's sake. I mean, don't let that bother you.
Well, it bothers me because they're having fun, and he's disrespectful of that fun. He doesn't want to have anything nice or to laugh at, or he wants to be a perfect, hardcore president. That's what he wants to be, but he's been losing a lot of respect from the Republican Party, and they're afraid of him for some reason. I don't know
I don't know either. Hey, Robert, I have to leave it there because I've got news coming up, but I really appreciate the call. Think about Robert's comments. Think about his opinion. And where did that call come from? Galliano. So, you know, there are people who love this show because we don't kiss Trump's ass, and they come from all over this area, all over the greater New Orleans area. I'm Scoot. If you're on hold, please hang on. We are coming back with your comments on WWL.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.